Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we're going to watch every horror movie ever made. So hang out with us for spoiler-free review and content warning, followed by our full thoughts. Just scratched my leg. Hope that didn't come in. Because today, we watched Final Destination 6, Bloodlines, from 2025, directed by Zach Lipovsky and Adam B. Stein. And I'm still very confused about these directors. I guess sometimes, you know, you just gotta give somebody a shot, right?
Yeah.
Because these guys directed a bunch of Disney Channel stuff, Kim Possible. One of them also directed Leprechaun Origins. Like, not a lot in there. And so when I looked this up before seeing the movie, I was kind of like, is this the direction we're going? Like, what are we? I guess it's number 6. But hey, everybody seems to love this movie.
And I will say, just to defend Kim Possible, it was a good show. Like, it was good.
No judgment to Kim Possible. I just mean, going from Kim Possible to Final Destination Bloodlines, I don't see the line there. But it does seem kind of rare that you have number 6 in a horror franchise that is getting not just this much excitement, but like, people just fucking like it. Like, it has really good reviews. It's still over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Would never in a million years have guessed that this would happen. I think it's a sign of like where we are with horror. It's like, it's drawing way more attention and talent, and people are just taking it more seriously. It's not just like throwaway anymore.
Yeah, it's really good to see, because had I probably heard this announcement like 5 years ago, I would have been like, I don't know. I'm not sure if it would be really any good, but obviously things have changed, because there's just like one banger after another lately.
The series is like, it's so unique in how it handles sequels and how it handles lore. Like, we've gotten into this in other episodes, but it's like they have somehow been able to avoid any and all lore involved in this. I guess there are people who consider all the weird trivia and callbacks lore. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, there's still no explanation to any of this. It's just like, you know what you're in for, and we're just going to keep going down that train. And they do actually, I think this is the first one where we do see some real lore, like the kind that I normally hate.
Yeah.
And I think they do it really well.
I think they do a really good job, too. I think I was definitely surprised.
Yes. But getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, we saw this one, a little hard date. Mm-hmm. Went to a theater that was like an hour away because I wanted the full 4DX experience. That seemed like the best way to experience this. That one is like an hour and a half away. And so it was like, we're going to have the 4DX at home, which is D-Box. It's close. Even that, we had a birthday party, a child's birthday party to go to. Mm-hmm. So it was like, can we miss this child's birthday party so that we can see Final Destination?
Absolutely not.
We had to make a very hard decision. But we made it work. We had to get up and leave at like 9 in the morning to see it at 10:30. At a place an hour away from us, and then drive an hour to the birthday. We made it work.
It worked. All right. It did. It actually worked out great.
Yeah, and it was a chance to go to this nice theater that we normally are just too lazy to drive out to. And we got the D-Box experience, which is, I guess we could talk about that real quick, because like I said, it's not the full 4DX. Like, I didn't realize that was a thing that was at like regular theaters. Until I saw people talking about it with this movie, I was like, what the fuck? I want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because it seriously has like, it has like the wind and the smells and lights and like everything and water. I heard people say that like there's parts with blood, and I can kind of imagine now which parts it probably was.
Oh, yeah.
And they spray you with fucking water. Like,
that's so cool.
That's like some Universal Studio shit. So we're gonna have to check that out at some point.
Yeah. I just think it's really cool to see that as an option in cinema right now, just because back in June, we did an episode. Was it June or was it October? October, I think. October, we did
an episode
on The Tingler. Yeah. And how William Castle was kind of like that was his baby. He was doing this like 4D cinema experience.
Mm-hmm. He was doing the 4DX back in what year was that? The 40s?
Maybe the 50s or 60s. Maybe the 60s.
What is time?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad about that at the birthday party.
Really?
I brought up the Tingler. Yeah, because I figured he would be, he didn't know who William Castle is. He knew who Vincent Price is. So we were able to talk about that, and I told him how, like, yeah, that was like the OG 40X was just blowing air on people's feet and shit. But D-Box was still cool. Our first experience with D-Box was that movie Hardcore Henry, which I couldn't tell you if it's a good movie, but it was a good D-Box experience.
It was.
Because it's all first person.
Yeah.
And with this, it's funny because I'll say, like, if I could be kind of snobby, like, the D-Box, it was very fun. But I noticed online that there's a community for everything. Mm-hmm. There's a community that, like, reviews this kind of stuff. It's kind of why I was like, we don't need to go all the way out for 40X because somebody was criticizing how, like, there's long spaces of nothing.
They're just going to shake you in the seat when they're, like, having serious dialogue.
Well,
like,
they kind of do because I felt like a lot of the D-Box experience, the note that I wrote down was car goes vroom, vroom. Because it's like every time there's cars, they're just shaking the seat.
Yeah, like
just to remind you, like, hey, you are in a D-Box. We're giving you something here. Like, give us a fucking break. I tried to get a video of you two in the beginning because... There's a part where they're playing a song and they're shaking the seats with the song,
yeah,
which
like
made sense.
Yeah, it's like
they're
forcing you to dance.
Yeah. But I just saw in my peripherals, like, everyone around me just bopping their heads with it. It was like, oh, shit. And, of course, when I went to take a video, it, like, stopped right as soon as I started.
Oh.
That was silly, though. It was fun. And they do some fun stuff with, like, when there were heights. They did this thing, did you notice, where they would kind of tip you forward and back real fast to make your stomach flip a little?
Yeah.
That's, like, very clever.
It worked, especially on some of those scenes. It was like, okay, I feel this.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you sons of bitches. It's like you're cheating by doing that. So it was fun. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm never going to turn that down because it's a fun way to experience it.
Yeah, we had not a very crowded theater, which was interesting, but... Well, very fun theater.
10:30 a.m. D-Box on Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, everyone was very into it, so that was good to see. And it really is like, look, if we're going to get into the movie, I am, like, restraining the desire to, like, be a hater. Not to be a hater, but to, like, lean into my criticisms because everyone is so positive about it. I'm going to hold that back. I don't know what that is about my personality. I guess I'm just kind of a dickhead with that.
No.
But, like, I like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, if we're going to get right into it, it's crazy that number 6 is this good. Because I've seen people online saying this is their favorite Final Destination. And it's like, I can't even fault that.
No,
you know, which is crazy.
I can't either. And I, you know what? I think they were extremely self-aware making this movie because they know... This is for those kids who watch this growing up.
Like, oh, and started a whole new generation because there were children in the theater with us.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, we're traumatizing our kids all over again. Can't even complain. But I'm like, me personally, I'm always, I've said this before, the one that's like, the more horror it is, the more it's going to appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And... with a lot of stuff like this, the original is usually the one that's, like, the most hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you see Alien and Terminator. It happens a lot of times. Even though I didn't grow up with these, I respect and like the original more because it is more of a horror movie. But this one, I mean, it's way less horror. It's way more just a fun movie, but it's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And it is, like, it's very gory. Like, they do not hold back on the effects or anything, but... it's definitely not as scary.
Yeah.
Final Destination is like, it is a special kind of series that is unique because it's something where they have literally crafted a theme park. And by leaning into that, it's like they don't have to fall into all the regular sequel pitfalls. They don't have to, you know, spin their wheels too much. They still fucking do with the story. You're still always getting the scene where you're figuring out the order of the deaths, which I think, though, in this one, it did it better than, like, any of the other ones.
It did, yeah.
It kept it out of the way while still, like, guiding what was happening. But that's the thing is, like, I kind of had always favored when the kills were more scary, when it was more like someone who's trapped, who has this impending painful death that they are trying to fight from, but they're just like helpless. Mm-hmm. Like that's really scary on a lot of levels. Those are the ones I usually appreciate the most. And when they lean into like the effects and the spectacle and all that, it's like, it's fun, but it's not really doing it for me. Mm-hmm. The thing this movie does is it totally leans into the theme park element. It totally goes for big spectacle, but they still somehow hold on to like the spirit of all of this. Mm-hmm. And they just make it so much fun that it's like, I'm not even bothered. You know, it's still, yeah. It was just such a good time.
You can tell it's just really well crafted too. I feel like they paid attention to their compositions and, you know, the colors in the film and stuff. And a lot of it is what I was hoping to see from the sequels.
Yes, very impressive. And I do think part of, you know, my skepticism going into it was probably because of the trailers. And what I realized is like they really take their time in this movie with all the kills, which I appreciate so much. Mm-hmm. But when they trim it down to just the like key moments in the trailer, even though they still like the trailer that had that barbecue kill, mm-hmm. that was pretty compelling because it was like, oh yeah, this is the Final Destination kill. Even in that case, I think in the movie, the way that they pace it out and everything, it's so much better than what they gave you in the trailer. And especially like we saw the tattoo kill, mm-hmm. and I thought that looked bad in
the trailer. I did too. When I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is what we're doing. So it did like lower my expectations, but somehow exceeded them.
That's the thing is in the movie with the way that they edit it together, it's like the pacing is very different mm-hmm. and it works way better.
Oh,
and
it's
way more entertaining. So the trailer's kind of almost butchered the way that some of these kills were depicted, and they kind of did it a disservice. Yeah, it was a really fun time. Mm-hmm. It was a great way to say goodbye to Tony Todd.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more in spoilers, but that was like actually really powerful and effective.
Yes.
It did still feel like it was taking people way too long to understand what a Final Destination was. Because like I wrote a note before we even saw the movie that was like, okay, at this point, everyone has to fucking know what this is. Like it will be all over TikTok and everything. And that's somehow not the case. It's still a surprise to everyone. It's also a surprise that we didn't see any more small businesses bankrupted in this movie. No boba. We were really thinking they were going to lean into like the pop culture side of things, but they completely avoided that and just stuck with making a good Final Destination movie.
Yeah.
As far as content warning though, I guess like there's definitely some stuff in here that plays with heights that mm-hmm. I guess could be, I'm just not the guy. That's the thing. With the content warning, all we can really talk about is like what affects us.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be able to say, you know, if someone who has a fear of heights is going to get affected by that.
I mean, like, I wouldn't say I have a fear of heights, but it does make me uncomfortable. And especially if you see this in D-Box, it would make you feel uncomfortable. But it doesn't feel, I don't know, it didn't do it for me either. It didn't really like, oh God, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the only like, because all of these, they have to have at least one that feels relatable, where it's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I've done this, and now I'm going to be afraid of that forever.
Well, yeah.
And I think this movie does have one of theirs, which is the MRI.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So might not feel the same way about that anymore, which is great.
Yeah.
With the way healthcare is in America, it's like, well, I guess I can't afford to do this anyway, so fuck it.
Being poor made us safe.
I don't have to worry about that. And that's what I was saying is like they lean into making this one just really fun. So the horror side kind of takes a backseat, but it's still a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Still had some very good effects. And just the way they take their time leading up to every kill and make the characters likable too. So you actually care about these people. You're not just thinking like, man, I can't wait to see this dude get his butt sucked out at the bottom of a pool. You actually want them to survive.
Yeah.
That totally plays into the, you know, whole slasher thing of like having likable characters that matter or just being like, we want people to want them to die. So fuck them.
I feel like they play with both sides of that, but I do like how all these characters are a little bit more complex. Like, they, you actually, like, understand what's happening. you know, instead of just like hollow outlines of a character.
Yeah. We've been going on a long time.
Yeah.
So why don't we just, we'll get the spoiler. We didn't even mention the story in the first part. But the story in this one is, you know, not that it usually matters, but I think this one, they did a good job making it easier to follow, at least. Because I don't know if it was that it was convoluted or if I just shut my brain off every time it came up. But
yeah, sometimes they're a little information overload. They're taking in a lot at once. But the way the story's paced here is definitely easier to follow.
I think the boredom just turned my brain off every time. But I was like following this one. And it's an interesting concept. It's that there's an event that takes place in the 60s. Which is the opening event. That's the, what is it called? The
Skyview?
The Skyview restaurant. That's like the big, you know, set piece kill in the beginning of the movie is just all these people going up to this restaurant on the top of a giant tower that breaks and falls, and it's a huge disaster. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that I guess the fear it plays on is just heights. Because I don't think anyone is afraid of going to a Skyview restaurant.
I mean, like, I am now.
Too fucking poor. Well, when the fuck are we going
to
do that?
Exactly. But, like, if that chance were to arise, I don't think I want to go.
Maybe the least relatable death scene. The thing is, the character there, Iris, she has a premonition, and she saves everybody, actually, from being killed. They still never explain what the premonitions are about, who they are coming from, like, what... They don't give a fuck about those questions. Mm-hmm. That'll probably be Final Destination 12 before we start asking those questions.
Going back to like caveman times.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, the weird thing with all of these movies that you would think would lower the stakes is that every movie, everyone dies. You know what I mean? Like every now and then we get like, we had the one character who did survive in, what was that, two? Or was that three?
Three.
We had the character in three who did survive, and they reference that in the movie by having her heart stop and then come back to life. That's the kind of lore we're developing. Is apparently that's canon, and so is being Highlander and killing someone and stealing their life force. Yes. That is also canon.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, she saved all these people. I guess it could be argued she gave them more time in their life to start families and all that, because it creates this bloodline, which they really drive home in the movie. It's constantly depicted as this long red line. It's like a family tree. So death is going down this line and picking off everyone along the way and all their descendants, because I guess he's just taken too fucking long to do it. Death is so messy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Maybe we're thinking of it wrong as being like, death is kind of this bumbling dude who's constantly like fucking up and having to pick up the pieces. Maybe it's just, this is just how death works, man. We just don't even notice it that like every single one of us has at some point avoided death and it's coming back. I don't know. There's a bleak way to look at it. It was nice though. I noticed in the very beginning that they really did make these characters likable people. So you kind of want them to get out of it, because it ends with him proposing and, oh, she turns out to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, it's a smart way to very quickly make you invested in these characters. Because in other movies, they just throw you in and it's like, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
Like, these people are all dying. I don't know who the fuck they are.
I agree. It was nice because the main character, Iris, seems like such a likable person. Like, she just seems very young and vulnerable, but very genuine and honest as well.
Yeah, and it works when you come back to her later, because you are interested in seeing, like, what's she up to now? And she's, like, a completely different person. Yeah. So all that stuff, it feels like they did a very smart job laying this out. It doesn't feel like it was just rushed and stitched together, which a lot of sequels tend to feel that way. And really, all the characters are pretty likable and recognizable. And when it gets to the kills, all the freak accidents, they are so great at like the pacing on those kills. They're just very good.
Yeah.
Like they really do a good job setting things up and sometimes calling them out. So if we just go through the kills, because after the Skyview,
Well, first of all, while we're still in the sky view, we got to talk about the kid and the piano.
Okay. I guess that is the thing to talk about. I think I clapped in the theater before I realized, like, I didn't even mean to do that.
You did. You did one.
I was like, oh, shit, I'm not home.
Yeah. Everyone in the theater was, like, very excited, though.
But I was more surprised because in the past movies, they made a point not to kill any children. Yeah. They were like, oh, we can't do that. And this one, I guess they're like, we're going to make you hate this motherfucker so much that you're going to cheer and clap your hands when he gets violently smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a little dickhead. That when he ran down the stairs and like looked back at them, I was like, you little motherfucker.
Well, I think it's so funny that they did like the squishing a kid thing, because like the first squishing a kid is this innocent child running through pigeons. Yeah. But then this time you have this little shithead who's like...
Well, no, and that's the thing, because that one, it was supposed to be a young child and they were like, we can't do that. Yeah. So they like aged him up. Now they're like, nah, we're going to... deliver. And that feels like something for the fans, honestly, right there. So that was a fun, like, big disaster scene. But after that, her granddaughter, Stephanie, she's the one who's having premonitions about her grandmother's
She's having dreams about her premonitions.
She's having a premonition of her grandmother's premonition. Yeah. So that, like, keeps the whole generational trauma thing going, which is also, like, very meta, because they are literally causing generational trauma among the audience.
Yeah.
And then they're making the movie about that. You have to wonder how much of this is deliberate, considering how much that, like, they love referencing shit in these movies.
What's great about this one is you can tell that the people who made this film are fans of Final Destination.
Yes.
Like, they knew the correct way to, like, deliver, and they did.
They were biding their time with Disney Channel stuff, just waiting for the opportunity to make a Final Destination.
Maybe.
But yeah, when she goes and finally sees her grandmother, I did think it was a cool way to show that, like, she had been keeping herself alive in this, like, barbarian fortress in the middle of the mountains, like, the most insane set piece there. It was so hard for me, I guess, just as someone who has, like, absorbed these movies so much recently.
Oh, yeah.
But when, like, everything is getting explained to Stephanie, she still is just like, oh, this was a mistake, you're crazy. Lady, do you not... You had these dreams. Like, how are you ignoring this shit?
No, I do agree with that. I felt like it did kind of, like, jar me for a second. It was like, oh, wait, you don't believe anything she's saying?
And the fact she has to be like, well, I guess I got to show you by horribly dying right in front of your face. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess it did the trick, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess, like... and. Even as it happened, I was, like, trying to, like, justify it in my head. It's like, okay, she never seen this woman in her life, and this is her first impression. Maybe it's just too much. I don't know. But the way the story was going, it did feel like she would, if not immediately, very quickly, like, accept it.
Yeah, I mean,
and I kind of wanted to see that. I kind of wanted to see this connection between her and the grandmother.
Would have been nice.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, that's another complaint that I have, though, is after... Iris dies here. Her mother comes back in the picture because the whole thing is like, I guess her mother finally accepted the Final Destination reality.
Yeah.
And so she started doing the same thing, going into hiding. And when her mother comes in the story, she was like non-existent in the movie. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I felt like she basically did nothing.
Yeah, she didn't really have too much of a role until towards the end.
That just stood out because there's so many good characters in this.
I almost can still justify it because I do feel like, especially generational trauma between women is very complicated.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of like societal impacts that drive women relationships apart.
Oh, yeah.
So in that sense, I can be like, okay.
I felt like we didn't get enough of that.
No.
That's my thing. Because I think that was like a very interesting angle there. But like, yeah, after that is when we get the barbecue, which everybody knows the barbecue kill because that was in the trailer.
What a like pleasant surprise to see a scene. When I saw that scene in the trailer, I loved it. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go. I know exactly what this is, like the second it starts.
As soon as you see the glass and the ice, it's like, ah, fuck.
what gets me is that rewatching it in the theater wasn't rewatching the scene again. I was seeing it in a completely different way.
And I was still on the edge of my seat.
I loved it. I thought that was great because I was satisfied both times, seeing the trailer and then again seeing the movie even more.
But it also really introduces like the thing that they do so well with this stuff and with the fake outs is like, you know, from the very beginning that this fucking piece of glass is in somebody's drink.
Yes.
But you don't know whose. So every time someone takes a drink, you're like, oh, like just clenching up.
Yeah.
And of course they have the dad, he starts chewing on the ice and shit. Yes. So it's like every little thing, it's this current of anxiety just running through the middle of this whole nice cookout.
Yeah. They did a perfect job towing on the line of tension, like trying to like, when's it going to happen? I don't know. Like they keep you on your toes in like the best way.
And that's the thing is like, that's always a staple, but it really is hard to orchestrate this effectively because some of the other movies have had scenes like this where it'll go on for a long time. It'll be hinting at things. Mm-hmm. But then when the actual kill happens at the end, it's just like, it just kind of falls off.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, oh, like it just wasn't as effective as you would hope. And I think all of them in this like nail that because even so with the cookout, after all that, it turns into, oh no, the glass comes out of the cup and then he steps on it. So it's like that whole time.
He falls into a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't guess that. That's crazy.
No, but it's just the way that like you're so nervous about them swallowing the glass and that's not even what happens. Mm-hmm. But they still use the glass to execute. Yeah, it's just, it's smart and it's just very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the funny thing is I think that's when Stephanie is finally like, okay, maybe I am in a final destination. And you would think that like they really run for way too long with everyone thinking that she's crazy. I guess that is like they've already been affected by this generational trauma. Maybe that's like already setting their minds a certain way. But it still is like you just watched your dad fall over and then a lawnmower came out of nowhere and took his head off. Like, I would definitely be more open to maybe there's something going on here.
Yeah, there's definitely, there's a lot of resistance there. I think I appreciate like how much of a punch there was with each kill.
Yeah.
Like
that's the gore aspect. It's like just still like, I feel extreme. Like
every single one was sold so well. This is like the fun horror that I really love to go see, which is so great to see in a theater. So
I did think when they introduced that little pet turtle, Paco, was it? When I'll admit, when I first saw that turtle, I was like, is this going to be a Chekhov's turtle? Is this turtle going to kill this whole fucking family? Because it just felt like I'm in the zone. Yeah. I'm in the final destination zone. I know what you motherfuckers did. But that actually didn't happen.
No, but I think those things live for a long time. What if that's like
a turtle just pops up in Final Destination 9? I could see that. They would do that. Come on. Yeah. Because the way they reference all the other movies, of course they'd fucking do that.
Yeah.
But what was after the barbecue?
Garbage truck.
So that's an example of what I'm talking about where like in the beginning she's like spelling it out. She's like, like maybe this tool falls over and then the guy with the leaf blower like blows leaves in these kids' faces and then they do something with the ball and it's like you see all this stuff set up and you keep waiting for something to happen. He keeps like narrowly avoiding getting hit by cars. It happens like three fucking times in the scene. And it's the way that when you see his sister walking away in the background, I was like, there we go. That's gonna be it. And then of course in the background you see everything happen and she gets sucked into the fucking garbage truck.
It was a great way to show that. I loved it.
Such a good setup that just like it manages to be really funny, but then again, end with this insanely gory.
Oh my
kill.
God.
Because I half thought like, oh, they're going to save her. And then you see her getting crushed.
Well, they like, lead Jesus. On that the next person is her brother. So they're like, it's not going to, she'll pull her out.
Yeah. There is also, I think around here is the tattoo parlor, which that one is funny because it's such a fake out.
Yeah.
And this is another big example. We saw the trailer for this one. And that was the one that made me think, like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's for me too. That's where I was like, oh, you're showing me too much.
Yeah, it didn't look that great. And the way that it ended with this, like, fully CGI fire stunt with him covered in fire, that also made me worried about how they were going to use effects in this. And then in the movie, they don't have that at all. It was like a fake out.
Yeah.
And he actually survives this. Plus, the scene itself, just, again, the way that it's paced is, like, way more entertaining.
Yes. It's way more stylized, too, which I think extremely helps push it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does a good job just messing with the audience. Because this was right before the garbage truck.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that he's still alive, it's, like, such a confusing moment. Because it's like, wait, did she have a permanent? But no, the fire happened. It's a clever way to play with that.
Yeah.
So then we start, this is when we get a little more story exposition. This is when we get the Tony Todd scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because his character is referenced as someone who, like, knows how to avoid all this. I don't know how I didn't see this coming. I was just like, I wonder who JD is.
Like,
I
just wasn't, really?
Or JB. Yeah, I was like, wonder who JB is. Like, so, like,
instantly knew.
Yeah, well, you're smarter than me. I was just rolling with it. Like, yeah, okay.
I think what tipped me off was in the beginning, you see, and then they show us that he was the child at the Skyview.
Yeah.
But there, the child had suspenders on.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah,
and
of course.
I was
so
like,
obvious.
Oh, that's Tony Todd's character. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was a surprising amount of, like, real deal lore to, like, we're going to explain who this mysterious character is. But it, like, it works, and it lets his story come full circle, because that's why he knows so much. He's he's not just some weirdo.
Yeah.
He, like, has actually experienced this before.
And he's friends with Iris, which, I don't know about any criticisms on his scene or not. I think it was perfectly executed.
I have trivia for the scene because everyone is talking about it.
Yeah. It was not only just well written, like, you believe every step of the way of what he's saying.
Well, wait, before you get into yours, because the thing that I've been seeing all over the internet now is that, I mean, in the scene, you can tell he looks very sick.
Mm-hmm.
He looks very different, especially since we just saw all the other movies.
Yeah.
Seeing the transition straight into this was pretty sad right away. But it was still, like, it's cool that they still used him in the movie.
Yes.
And then the thing that, like, everyone knows by now is that when he has his final goodbye, like, the last few lines, they had lines written. But then the directors were like, you know what? This is your last scene. Just say whatever you want. And so in that scene, it feels like he is speaking to the audience, and that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so glad that they did that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to say that before you got into it.
I did see, like, small interviews with the directors talking about Tony Todd's time on set and how much fun it was and how, like, they felt like they were, like, witnessing, like, a legend. Like, it was just immaculate vibes on set. But I held off from, like, watching anymore because I was like, I don't want to spoil it. I want to be able to see whatever the scene is, see what happens. And it's just, he is talking to you. Like,
he literally is. And I didn't know that before seeing it. Like, in the moment watching it, I mean, you were bawling your fucking eyes out. I just heard you sniffling next to me because we become so attached.
Yeah.
We've just watched all of these movies. We've seen the whole progression. And that scene, like, it can't be overstated. Not knowing that it was ad-libbed, it surprised me in the theater because it was like, Jesus Christ, this is, like, very heartfelt and emotional. So it just it makes sense that that's how this was created because it feels genuine.
Yeah, I just, in that moment, I was like, anything else could happen in this movie, I'd be happy. Because it was just like, I just witnessed the most, like, magical scene in cinema history. I think for an actor to take that sort of, like, time and care and know.
Yeah.
Oh, it just makes me so sad.
I know, but it's beautiful. It's like, because how often do you get that opportunity to create such a fan following and then to be able to actually say goodbye to them in this way is, like, crazy. And it's so great that, like, he was able to do that and that we were able to be a part of that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's just so many people. I think it's honestly sad. It feels like when he was alive, he didn't get the dues he deserved.
Yeah, of course.
And it's just, what a gift.
There are plenty of people who still, yeah. They knew.
Yeah.
We knew. We saw you, Tony Todd. Yeah. But we go from this into the reverse butt suck kill.
Yeah, we do. Oh, God.
That's all I could think because...
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, wow, they actually brought in a butt suck. Well...
It's the reverse butt suck. I thought of it more as like he is getting sucked into the butt.
I guess, yeah. And
look,
no.
We've had butt suck on the brain since watching the fourth one.
Yeah.
But
I will say, like, that scene, they were so good at, like, letting the characters, like, deliver dialogue to each other. But in, like, while you're watching it, like, when is that piercing going to go through his head? I'm like, but the way that it's handled, of course, they start driving you one direction and just, like, veer off another way. And it's...
That's the thing is, like, so the red herring they throw in there, which isn't a red herring, is the vending machine in the beginning. Because mm-hmm. It's all this setup there that ends with the spring being... Yeah. Loose, and then by the time they get into the room with the MRI, it's like, I forgot about the
yeah, I'm not thinking about the spring. Yeah. I'm thinking, that guy has the Prince Albert, I know it, and it's gonna be painful.
Yeah, they do such a great job setting that up. And then, in the MRI room, I feel like I have... Why is it so hard to say MRI room?
MRI room, I don't know.
That's just me. I've heard a lot of people recently talking about MRIs for some reason. And like, there have been accidents. I mean, this is another part of Final Destination's history is mm-hmm. taking like real freak accidents like the butt suck and kind of recreating them here. And I've heard of someone getting killed by a wheelchair by an MRI.
That sucks.
Yeah. I feel like kind of conflicted about that like this happened to somebody and yeah. Now we're kind of playing it as a just for the thrill of it.
Yeah, you told me that as we were leaving the theater, and I feel like that really kind of like impacted me because like that's kind of like why I don't listen to true crime stuff anymore because yeah. Like it's I don't like it that someone actually got hurt and killed.
It's
you know, like
tricky.
In real life.
Well, and it's especially because there was another one with like an oxygen tank. And one of them was a child, and I don't remember which one. And I think I'd prefer to keep it that way.
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't know, it's weird because it is a cool scene. It's brutal.
It's crazy. And I don't know if you caught it, but they like ended up recreating the logo from Final Destination 4 or 5.
Oh, yeah, with
this
tattoo
yeah.
in his stomach.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was cool.
And it lets us lead up to, because they bring him to the hospital because he has a peanut allergy. And they want to recreate the, like, heart-stopping thing, which they just cannot fucking get right in this movie. Yeah. They try it multiple times.
Yeah.
And instead, we get the payoff of the spring coming out. It also has the Final Destination trope, by the way, of a machine that just keeps getting more and more powerful
yes.
for no reason. It's like...
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even realize that, but yes.
Just like the butt suck.
Yeah.
Look, I'm wondering... If this is deliberately a callback to the butt suck.
It has to be. It 100% has to be. And even honestly, creative.
Detail.
Like, you could have just did another butt suck, but you found a whole new way to do it.
Yeah. But after this, all we have is the kind of finale, which this is the one part where it's like, if you take a step back, it feels kind of weird. Because it's the idea that, like, oh, now death is going to come for their mom. Mm-hmm. So let's... take her to this fucking stronghold and just yeah. hide her in there.
She says, like, I should be the one to do it. Like, it makes sense for me to do it, and I get that.
But it also is just, like, you're just putting it off at that point,
yeah.
you know?
Well,
But I guess that is, like, the futility of everything in these movies. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you overcome this, you know?
Well, you can't. I think that's kind of the point of the movie.
How it works, everybody yeah. gotta die. But, yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's a weird kind of motivation, and then it just turns into just this big spectacle thing that you can't really tie to any theme. It's just mm-hmm. total story. And the mom winds up dying anyways, and they kind of trick you because Stephanie, she drowns and gets brought back by her brother.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that because that scene I feel like was so well done where the screen just goes black for a while.
I think that's the same thing they did with the third one.
But this was done so well. Like, seriously, when it happens, there's throughout the entire movie, there's this like brimming of anxiety and it's like, you feel it. And then as soon as that happens and she, quote unquote, comes back, things feel very light and like peaceful. Like the atmosphere like really changed. And I think they did a really good way of depicting that because obviously we realized she didn't actually die.
Yeah.
And that anxiety comes right back. And it's like so well done.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, I don't know. They end it that way where it seems like she has survived. And I guess that stops the whole chain. So I guess her brother's okay.
I guess.
But it's all because of this dickhead parent who they're talking to and they're getting ready to go to prom. Remember she mentions like, oh yeah, my brother, he saved my life
because
I died. And this guy's like, well, technically he didn't die. Like he really has to like... He has to, like, actually, this whole thing.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that is, like, in that scene, it starts, like, a weird deja vu where his date has, like, the same a similar dress to, like, what Iris is wearing. Yeah. So, like...
She pricks her finger.
Right.
Yeah, it comes full circle. And that just leads to the train derailment, which is, like... It's another one of those ones that's just, like, so fucking over the top. I'm not going to be scared of getting hit by a train when it looks like this.
Well, I think what's funny about it is, like, now it's, like, a log train.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Because, like, it's just kind of crazy how over the top it is. But it's funny, like, the way they're just, like, run. And then you have, like, 15 trains stumbling toward you. But, of course... They gotta bring back the fucking log truck.
Yeah. It's funny because they hinted at it toward the ending. There's like a log truck that goes past. And it's funny.
We all fucking know. Yeah. All right. We know. But the fact that, the two of them just wind up getting killed by a log train is like, I guess, perfect way to just wrap it up.
And the blood was just so funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look. This is a long one. Mm-hmm. We have been watching every one of these fucking movies over the past few weeks. So give me a break. All right. We got Final Destination on the brain. Now we can wrap it up. But I was surprised how much I liked this movie.
Me too. I think
super fun.
Yeah. When I left the theater, I was like over the moon. I was like, I just saw such a great film. I had such a good time. Yeah. Like put me in such a great mood because it was just like at first expectations were high, kind of dipped. But then they like. Completely exceeded any expectations I had. So
yeah, I think it's just like I am always hoping for a more horror-centric Final Destination, but like the hater in me still has to admit that when you just make it this fun, it's like I don't care. Yeah. I had a super good time. As long as they can maintain this kind of level of quality, mm-hmm. I'm okay with them just being like, look, we're just doing the theme park.
I'm for it too. Like, go ahead, keep making more. If you're going to keep it like this, we can't go the other direction. Can't go back.
No. But yeah, you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. And we're going to have to rank the Final Destination movies. All right, this is going to show just how fucked up our list is, but whatever. I put it right under the original Final Destination and above War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that works. I mean, I don't know where else to put it. Like, the list is crazy now.
That puts it at number 59.
Which just doesn't deserve to be that low. Look, I don't know what's happening with that list at this point.
We're losing control of the list. I don't know what to do.
I don't think we completely thought this through.
We just have to keep going.
We might need to do an edit episode.
No, it's going to be too crazy. That'll be way too much. But now we got to rank Final Destination. We should have done this for Hell House LLC.
Oh, yeah. We still could.
I think that's the only other, like... No, we did Jeepers Creepers. We're, so far,
we've done... Not revisiting Jeepers Creepers. just so we know.
We'll have to throw that in somewhere. But we've covered Jeepers Creepers, Hell House LLC... and Final Destination now. And we should start ranking these once we're done. So I have not ranked these yet.
Okay, I have.
For some reason, that actually looks pretty good, though. I personally would still put the original Final Destination on top.
No, I think I would, too.
Okay. But then I think we could agree Final Destination Bloodlines, that's number two.
Definitely.
Okay. Then, so two and three kind of blend together for me. And I think we even ranked both of them like the same. But what was, I can't even remember what. So two is Traffic. Two is the log truck.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strong.
Three is the tanning bed.
Three is the tanning bed. I think I like, I think the log truck is just, you can't beat it.
Exactly.
You can't fucking beat it.
And the thing is, I love the tanning bed one too, but like the log truck, like what are you going to do?
It's iconic.
Like,
all right.
Yeah.
So then that's three. Then I'd put five. Because even though I think four and five are pretty similar, five has that prequel twist at the end, which is pretty fun. Four does have the butt suck, which has become one of our favorite phrases lately. But I think I still got to put that one at the bottom. Okay.
Yeah, it was really weirdly racist. And I think
that, yeah, like, there was that too. You had to take the racism just with the butt suck.
Yeah.
So that means our definitive final ranking is the original Final Destination at number one, Final Destination Bloodlines at number two, Final Destination 2 at number three, Final Destination 3 at number four, then Final Destination 5 at number five, and the Final Destination, that's the bottom of the list.
Yes.
I like it.
I like it too. I'm wondering, I want to know if how other people would rank these films too, and tell us why. I'm curious. What's your favorite? What, I can't ask?
That's like a five-year-old, like, what's your favorite bug?
I want to also, maybe, what is your favorite bug?
Well, contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What is your favorite bug? What is your favorite dinosaur? And we are posting on YouTube. It's just the podcast episodes for now, but we have some stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
So subscribe over there. And that's all I got. Bye.